Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Uh-oh. Here we go. I know what time it is. Ray rocking his Lisboa.
Shout out. That's right.
I was in a good mood, you know, Pastel Donatos were amazing. I think poor Marcy was along for the ride because I probably had about 20 of those things. I just kept trying like different locations, and I was obsessed. But it was a fun trip. So I had to try different ones because each restaurant had a different, you know, it's the same recipe, right? But it's like, hey, they get some of them sprinkle a little bit more, you know, powdered sugar, and some have, cinnamon, some have honey. So that is the one that I did not get a chance to try. So looks like we got to go back, Marsh, for the chocolate ones. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You hear, she's in the background there. Yeah, oh, man. So anyway, America, we digress. We went a little tangent there, but hopefully at some point we'll get a chance to all travel. I know, Gary, you've seen Rob in person, but maybe one day I'll get blessed to see you in person. Maybe for our trip to Ireland. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something fun, and we'll get a chance to kind of do a blog talk in person, and that would be kind of the highlight, if you will, too.
Yeah.
So we're excited. Excited for sure. So,
hey, don't forget about Dublin next year. Georgia Tech, Florida State.
Yeah, literally, I have not
Florida State still in the ACC.
They should be there. I mean, it's going to be tough to get out of that deal because I think the deal, they signed a horrible media deal to like 2036. But if the Florida State can somehow exit that, that's going to be an interesting story. We'll talk about that too. But, I've cleared out my schedule, Rob. I didn't book any events for the 24th, which is tough. I've got like four people want me to DJ. I'm like, I'm going to be out of the country. So, I'm leaving that to the team. So just FYI. We got to make this happen by any means necessary, too. So it's going to be great. So let's check in with the fellas, man. First and foremost, let's check in with you, Rob, the aforementioned you. Kind of how you feeling this evening, man? Nice New York hat I see, representing as always.
Oh, yeah, the Yankees, they're 2 in a row, man. You know, we got to enjoy it while you can, right? So, yep, definitely represented. A big win over the Rays last night and a big win over the Astros tonight. So we'll take it. And, you know, had some nice short ribs early with some good asparagus tonight. Yeah, good dinner. Cooper's Hawk came through.
There it is. There it is. Good stuff. Gary, check it with you, man. Congratulations. Some great news on the personal front with the house and everything like that. So we're going to talk to sports, but how you feel this evening?
You know, I'm doing well. You know, it's busy time for us, but we're muddling through it. But, some exciting news. We'll be over on the East Coast, so we'll all be sleepy on the call. I'll fall asleep. Maybe I'll pull a Andre and fall asleep.
Hey, man. Yeah, that was
you don't
that
do
that
all day, but hang out chandeliers.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Oh boy, I'm gonna have my work cut out for me.
It's going to be fun, man.
Oh,
Arnetta, a lot of love. And it's funny, whenever you're a business owner, like myself, I wake up at like weird times. I wake up at like 4, and I'll like look at stuff, and then I'll kind of like reset. And then so it's just one of those things, too. You start going to sleep a little earlier, like, oh, man, I have to do this call at like 11, so you have to get ready, too. So we're going to have some fun, though. So, again, America, we are thrilled to – you know, definitely talk sports. I can't wait till next week. Hopefully we get a chance to do some Facebook Live We're excited to see that. We're going to wait till JQ gets back, a.k.a. the GOAT of the podcast. I know he is ripping and running, and we're going to give him a shout-out, too, because I think, Rob, you have a feel-good story. I don't know if you want to do that a little earlier in the show or later. You let me know whenever we want to do that, or if we want to make JQ
Gary,
the whole show to get to that point, too.
I do.
That was Gary. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah,
maybe
so.
We should tease him, man. Maybe we should tease him and save him for the end of the show.
No. I think we should do it right off the bat. Go ahead and give out the numbers to the show, and then I'll do my thing.
Gary has showed you some love because Rob wanted to make you wait till the end of the show. So just a little
FYI. Thank you, Gary. I love you, bro. Yeah, we should give you a tease and make you listen to the whole show.
Really quickly, for those that want to call in, always same number. It's going to be the 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. That's the number that everyone calls in. Maybe we'll get a shout-out from Naj. He calls in as well. I got to text him and see how he's doing. Always follow us on Twitter, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, you can go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th Inner, 12th Inner Sports. That's where we will be, and that's where we will try to conduct our Facebook Live next week. So stay tuned for that as well. Exciting, exciting news. And without further ado, Gary, let's kind of kick it off. The floor is yours with a shout-out for Cincinnati to fill your story as well.
Well, this is a shout-out to Drew Chrisman Hunter for the Cincinnati Bengals. He makes just over $1 million a year, so he's one of the lowest paid players on the team, and he's in a bit of a fight for his job. But this guy, he was in the hospital, and they said he was in the hospital for some sort of medical scare. I don't know if it was related to football or if it was some personal issue, but he's back training again, and when he trains for this, he. Being a punter, he trains his legs, so he does a lot of cycling. And he decided that instead of just doing cycling, he was going to start delivering for DoorDash. So when people are calling in and placing an order, and he's going to be the delivery guy, he pays for it, so it's showing up zero balance when they get to their place. And they're wondering about that. And he says, well, we're doing things different because I paid for your meal and I'm also going to give you a tip. So he's giving these people a $100 tip. Now, this is a guy, punters, you know, some of these other positions that are not the flashy positions, these guys battle pretty much every year for their jobs. And this guy being one of the lower paid employees for that organization found it in his heart to do something like that. And I just wanted to give him a shout out because I just thought that the story was fantastic. And when they give out these, you know, NFL Man of the Year awards, you can give it to some guy that's making, you know, $17 million a year or $20 million a year. That's whatever, but this guy is one of the lowest paid guys on the team, doesn't even know if he's going to have a job, and he's still giving to the community. And he didn't even want anybody to know, but someone on the team found out about it. So they mentioned it to the media. And when the media asked him, are you doing this and why are you doing this? And he just said, you know, this is just how I was raised. I was raised to give and to give back. And I just thought that in this day and age, with all of these spoiled athletes in all of these sports, baseball, basketball, football, whatever, I just thought that this was absolutely refreshing. So shout out to Drew Chrisman.
Definitely a great story.
Great story.
And that story was definitely worthy of being at the front of the show. So I'm glad we didn't save it to push it to the end. So definitely a great story.
Good stuff, Gary. Appreciate that. And there you go, JQ. A little shout out for the Bengals. And hopefully, we could only be so lucky if somebody DoorDashed to us and gave us like a tip too, that would be like the highlight of our week, because I know sometimes me and Marcia be a little heavy on that too. So that would be beautiful if somebody did that to deliver our food and it was free and they gave us $100. I'd be like, yo, I'm going to keep having DoorDash with this guy. But what a great, great story for sure.
Wow.
He's not delivering in the ATL.
Well, I know he's not going to come to the ATL. I'm just throwing that out there for somebody in the ATL
make
an awesome situation like that.
Right.
I was going to say that's interesting, Gary, you said puncher, because I literally pulled up a post that it was breaking down the average salary, and we'll talk about this later too, guys, about the average salary for NFL running back in 2023. It was showing that it was $1.81 million. The average salary for NFL kicker was $2.6 million. So I know that's difference between a kicker and a punter, but that's crazy that right now as of 2023 – and a running back is making less than a kicker right now. So that's just going to, like, that is really, really talking about the value of running backs too. We'll talk about that later. I know it doesn't look like we have a situation where we're going to talk about Jonathan Taylor this time, but we can get into that as well too. But right off the bat, gentlemen, let's talk about the preview of USA, Team USA, the women's team versus Sweden. And this is pretty interesting because you know, right now, a couple of things is that, you know, the USA, they are an underdog right now because Sweden is the number two ranked team. And if you're the USA team right now, I don't think that it appears that they've kind of lost their fear factor, especially after kind of two draws, a goal post save, and, you know, Portugal kind of like tied them. You know, it's kind of one of those situations where it's a draw. So this is a pretty interesting situation because Sweden, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say they beat the USA in Rio and in the Tokyo Olympics. So this is we'll see what's happening. USA, they're saying all the right stuff like, hey, you know, this is what we needed and, you know, we're focused. But you got to think somehow back in their mind that this is, you know, this is going to be an interesting situation for them too. So I'll let you talk about that, Rob, and then we'll go to Gary and your thoughts about this as well.
Yeah, I think you did a good job covering it there. And, I mean, you mentioned it. It doesn't seem like other teams are scared of the USA and the two-time defending champions here. You know, they're coming off two draws, one against the Netherlands, one against Portugal. And I guess the Netherlands, as we covered it on last week's show, you know, we weren't overly concerned over that one, right? But when we had a draw against Portugal, now you're concerned, right? And and now you're going against Sweden, a team that is red hot. I mean, they're just whipping people. They beat Italy 5-0 a couple of matches ago, too. So this is, you know, I don't know if the USA was saving it for the knockout round, but they look very lackluster against Portugal. It looked like a team that was disinterested. You just didn't see the same energy that you were used to seeing from that team. And you have to be concerned going against this game against Switzerland. Game's early in the morning on Sunday, 5 a.m. I'm not setting my alarm for it. I don't know about you. That's going to be 2 a.m. for you in Portland, Gary. So I hope I'll wake up to a win, but I'm not overly optimistic, especially the way Sweden is playing and the lack of playing that our USA ladies are playing right now.
Well, with this matchup, in particular, you know, Sweden, you know, they're probably the strongest team that's never won a tournament. Okay?
Correct.
They're a good team. And all dynasties, and this is basically what we've had with the U.S. women's soccer. You know, the men have been not so good, but the women have been dominant.
Correct.
For a while now. So I'm not surprised that at some point in time, and maybe this is it, maybe it's not, that, you know, that they're, you know, they're coming to an end with that dynasty. With Sweden, you know, they scored 9 goals. And in their 9 goals that they scored, it's been in set plays, not run-out plays. Only 2 of those have been, I don't know what they call them in soccer, but more fast break plays. And one in you know, in the extra kicker, you know, and so they're really good at that end of the field, and they put a lot of pressure on the teams. This may be the year they beat, the, you know, that they beat the U.S. and move on. But I do not believe, and I don't think the U.S. does, I don't think they believe, they're ranked ahead of the U.S., but I don't think they're a better team than the U.S. I think they're a team that's got to prove they're better than the U.S., but they're probably the United States' biggest rival.
Yeah, Sweden's going to be ready for this match. Gary is such a fan, he's going to stay up and just not go to sleep and watch the whole thing in the morning, too. So we'll keep an eye on what happens with that. But on a serious note, it's crazy because you look at, you know, obviously the U.S. is one of the best players. I want to say Rose Lavelle. She got a yellow card, so she's still out. She's suspended for this match. Now is the time, like you said, Gary. It's going to be interesting if we're going to wake up to a pretty big upset. Or is the U.S. going to do something magical and kind of make this comeback and kind of prove that they are the best team? On my side, I used to actually do the music for the Atlanta Beat, which was the professional soccer, women's soccer situation here. Man, this was such a long time ago, but I remember seeing, you know, Alex Morgan. I remember seeing all these players, Marta, that used to play for Brazil, and it was great seeing these ladies play. So I've always enjoyed women's soccer, too, but it's going to be really interesting to see if they can pull this off. Like I said, Rob, no one knows. They're saying the right stuff, but as you said, Gary, we can start smelling blood in the water, and this could be the year that the USA could take that, too. So we'll talk about that, obviously, 2 days to see what's going on with that. We're going to talk about another very momentous situation in Germany that they failed to advance with the 1-1 draw to South Korea. This is the first time ever in their history that they have not advanced. And this is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. So you can catch some interesting things happening this year. So, Rob, I don't know if you want to kind of expound upon that, sir.
Yeah, I mean, they were in the group play with Morocco and Colombia, and Morocco and Colombia both went 2-0-1 in their group play. So they're going to go to the knockout stage and not Germany. So a big surprise. And, of course, Morocco upset Colombia as well. You know, 1-0 as well. So it's, you know, it's a big shocker for the Germans, and also a big shocker that Morocco upset Colombia too. So a couple of things there to watch.
Well, absolutely. And they, you know, they, what it was, a 1-1 tie against South Korea. And, you know, that to me, Germany not making it, not moving on, that's the biggest upset right there. That's the biggest upset. If Sweden beats the United States, that's still the biggest upset. You know, probably the second is Morocco beating Colombia. That was also,
right.
You know, that was also huge. So I think those two are the two matches that I'm most surprised of. And as far as the matchup with the United States and Sweden, I'm kind of tossed because those are our two favorite teams because my wife is half Sweden. Half of her family is still over in Sweden. So, of course, it wouldn't bother me if Sweden got over the hump and moved on. And, you know, I'm rooting for the,
I went there for
the U.S.,
first time
but
this
it's
past
a,
summer.
What's that?
I said I went to Sweden for the first time this past summer. Mm-hmm.
So you flew into Stockholm?
I didn't go to Stockholm. I went to Lund and a couple of smaller cities. I remember Lund. I can't remember the other cities. I have to get them for you. It's all closer to Copenhagen on the southern part of Sweden.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
Close to Copenhagen, you know, said, Rob? Was it close to...
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that's... If you ever go to Stockholm, the thing that you want to see in Stockholm is you want to go see the ship, the Vasa. It was a Swedish warship from 1639, I think, is when it was built.
Wow.
They brought it
up.
Nice.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
I'm happy to check it out.
Can Arnetta cook some Swedish meatballs for us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
You know, I had some when I went to Sweden.
Yeah, this guy. Hey, Gary, I'm glad you said that about Sweden because, you know, deep down inside me, I kind of had – I was rooting interest for Portugal, too, because I was just impressed with the team, too, because we had such a great time as well, too. So, you know, not that I'm hating on this side, but it's like I was just like – I was impressed to see – this, the love of soccer overseas is just intense, you know. So once you get a chance to see, they love their squad. So whenever we're there, they're like, "Oh, we can't wait!" For I'm like, "What? This is the they're still a crowd."
Oh, yeah.
I was like, "This is awesome!" So it was great to hear.
Their crowds are massive.
Yeah, we've had some great conversations with people that were there in the middle of my pasta donata. You know, hangover, overdose, whatever you want to call it. So I had some really good conversations with some locals there, and they're like, "Where are you from, America?" And so we were talking about this, and we did the African Lisbon tour, and they were talking about soccer too. So it was just a great feeling. So you know, I was rooting for Portugal. But yeah, you guys, I'm adopting you guys as well too. So it was such a great experience, to say the least. Yeah, you talked about that. I do want to do a shout out because. This is a really momentous situation too, because a lot of history making events. This is the first time ever that three African teams have made the knockout stage of the Women's World Cup. So Morocco is the fourth to ever reach that too. So it's great to see all that happening too. Robbie mentioned it as far as Morocco and Colombia, they upset 1-0 to advance, and you know they're throwing that too. So it's interesting to see what's happening as far as what's going on that side of the spectrum. So. Let's keep it going. Again, in the soccer theme, just a quick note about Lionel Messi scores twice in the Miami's win over Orlando City. Rob, I was going to talk about that in Florida where you're at.
Yeah.
We'll keep it going. Go ahead.
I mean, this was huge for MLS, right? You know, getting Messi and the, you know, obviously they're in this tournament stage right now. Once they start playing again for real, I mean, Inter Miami is near the bottom of the league, so they're going to have some climbing to do. But it's definitely brought some excitement to the league. And, scored two goals again in a win over Orlando City. So, I mean, another huge win. But all of these matches have been in Miami, so I want to see how well he does when they start to have to hit the road and travel a bit and things of that nature. But, yes, he's definitely brought some excitement to the league. You're definitely intrigued, and I'll be honest, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to the MLS prior to Messi joining the league, so right? So it's definitely going to be intriguing, and I'm interested to see how high he can get that team to climb if he can get them to push for a playoff spot before the season is over. I mean, they got some work to do. They got a ways to go, but he's definitely brought some excitement to the league.
Well, this is what I would say, Rob. He's a man playing against boys. He's that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, this guy is not going to be affected playing on the road.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredible, incredible athlete.
Yep.
And, I'm glad that it's bringing more attention because we're lacking so much in soccer. In the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The women's soccer has done well, but the men's soccer is just, it hasn't over the years.
Yep, right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, just the attention that he may bring, and then just the fan base that they have, the Argentine fan base that they have in the area, they're just going nuts over this guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Miami has a huge Latin American population there too, so I mean this is he definitely went to the right market. There's no doubt
there
about
it.
And there's no secret that he loves Miami too, so he definitely went to the right market.
Good stuff. And you know, just to comment on that, Gary, it's interesting because all of the good athletes are going to other sports, right? They're going to play, you know, basketball, football, baseball, if you will, and at some point, eventually, maybe we'll start. And I'm not saying that. Please don't say. I'm not saying there's not great athletes in soccer at all. I'm just saying just a lot of, you know, those are the big sports right now. So I think as we start getting more exposure to soccer and what's happening with Messi, then it'll draw some situation where, hey, let's start putting some people, some great stars into the MLS situation as well. I'm a huge fan of Mbappe, so hopefully some way, somehow come over to us, man, but we'll see. You know, that's another situation, another story as well, too. But, you know, you've got some great, great international stars.
Pay him $1 billion a year.
Yeah, you got. It's not going to be cheap, but somebody will do that, I'm telling you. If endorsements are right, if it's a big market, that would be a good situation to kind of have, you know, I can see an L.A. situation here as well. Like, you got, like, Messi, and then you got Mbappe or something like that. Now you've got, like, this big market to kind of battle that. So, anyway, we'll talk about that later. But let's keep trucking along here. And we had a lot of movement as we switch gears in Major League Baseball. And I guess the question is, Rob, this is good. I mean, I guess there's some teams that you can consider that won during the trade deadline, and I want you to kind of highlight those teams and kind of give your thoughts about what happened. There's some teams that lost. The Dodgers lost, I would say. I mean, they didn't get the future that they wanted, but, you know, they're going to be just fine. But there's some teams that clearly won during the Major League trade deadline. So go ahead and talk about that, sir.
Yeah, well, the first team I'll talk about is the surprising first-place Baltimore Orioles. And, I mean, I don't think any of us thought it. This is a team that finished last in the division last year. I mean, with some potential, they went out and traded and acquired Jack Flaherty, and he actually pitched tonight and had an outstanding game for the Orioles in a win over Toronto in Toronto. So, I mean, they're actually making a run at this and see how far they can go. And hey, they were buyers in the trading deadline, which they haven't been in quite some time, and they went out and got them an additional starting pitcher. So we'll see how well that helps them. Another team who's definitely not going to catch the Atlanta Braves, and that's the Philadelphia Phillies, but they got a chance of being a wild card. We've seen this team go deep in the playoffs. I mean, they got some heavy hitters in that lineup. They went out and got another pitcher tonight. The last few days, Michael Lorenzen, and he also pitched 8 strong innings tonight in the win for the Phillies
the
over the Miami Marlins. So another big win, give them another pitcher that can possibly help them in the playoffs. Here's a team that, you know, a few weeks back, JQ, if you're listening, I know you were the only one on the show that had them number one, and I think the rest of us had the Atlanta Braves and the Tampa Bay Rays. But the Tampa Bay Rays, even though they're starting to slowly come out of that slump, I know they won 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. They lost last night. But they went out and got Aaron Civale, an additional starting pitcher, right? Now, McClendon looked like he's going back on the DL for about 15 days, so that's a huge blow for the Rays. But if this Rays team is healthy, I mean, they can go 4 quality starters deep, which would be hard to beat in the playoff series, as you know, right? And they have speed. They have some hitters as well. If they can get hot again and get those pitchers healthy, they have a very good chance of being a team that represents the American League in the World Series. Now, they got to starve off the Houston Astros, who now got Justin Verlander, and he got to hold off the Texas Rangers, who's got an incredible lineup, and acquired Max Scherzer as well. So those are two teams to also watch in the American League. I just talked about Texas and Max Scherzer, and so another key player, he just won a matchup as well. So all these pitchers that these teams just acquired also just helped them win ball games too. Max wasn't as impressive, but his team did still manage to hold on to win. And last but not least, the Houston Astros, I saved them for last. Getting Justin Verlander, of course, is definitely going to help them down the stretch. This is still a dangerous ball club, right? But the thing of it is here, they could have just re-signed the dude, and they would not have to trade some of the young prospects to get him back. So they had every opportunity to re-sign the guy, and they would not have had to trade some of their young prospects to get him back. So this was kind of a on-the-fence good move because they could have just kept him in the first place, and they would not have had to trade for him. But still, he's going to be a major player down the stretch for this team, and this team has a chance to get back to the World Series again.
Well, with Verlander, you know, he's just that seasoned veteran with a lot of playoff experience, and he just doesn't seem to get rattled. He will help him out. The Mets getting that Gilbert and Clifford, both of them are outfielders, but they're both, you know, top prospects. So the Mets did all right, too, in that.
Yep.
As far as the Orioles, I think the Orioles, and I didn't know that Flaherty pitched tonight for the Orioles, but I guess he did, huh?
Yes, I didn't know that. Yep.
Okay, good.
And they won. I think the final was like 6-1. Let me look at that again. Yeah, 6-1. Yeah, he had a strong outing tonight. He pitched 6 innings.
All right, there you go.
Nice. Yeah, good stuff for the Orioles. You talk about a situation where their farm squad teams process have started to play well. So this is it's a great story to see the Orioles playing well, too. There's certain squads that you want to see, especially some fresh blood, too. So it's good to see the Orioles playing well in that system, too. So,
well, the one thing I would say before we get off this topic, I remember, Rob, I remember you saying something about the Orioles a few months ago, talking about how they're going to be a team that can compete in the AL East. So I thought that was interesting that you said that. I remembered you saying that. I don't remember exactly when, but I remember you saying that after the season was over.
Yeah. I mean, they were a team that had some young talent. I mean, Cedric Mullins has been he's been outstanding for that team this year. You know, he's been great on the bases. He's been great hitting the baseball. And they're getting some quality pitching. And I just added another pitcher, too. So much as we hate to say that, being Yankees fans and they're in our division, I mean, they're certainly not going anywhere. I was hoping it was one of them teams that just started hot and was going to fade, but it doesn't look that way.
Talk about Fred Germain getting lost by the Yankees. So there you go, guys. Alcohol rehab.
Well,
yes,
what I would say about it is – go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead, Gary.
I guess he had some sort of a meltdown in the dugout. Not at any, directing at any players or any coaching staff, but just kind of a – yelling, screaming. They knew he was having some sort of an issue. Now he's in the alcohol treatment program. You know, it seems like this that can piss away a career real fast if you don't get it under control. So I wish him the best. I hope that he gets this under control. Sometimes alcoholism like that can be evil. It can really be hard on people. And hopefully he's one that can beat this. What's your take on that, Rob?
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing. He's a really good young player. Pitched the perfect game this year as well. So this is definitely a guy the Yankees were hoping on to really grow and help this team for a playoff push. So definitely a huge blow for the Yankees. Definitely a team that is lacking some young stars right now. This is a team that has some players on a team that you can actually see the aging take place as we speak. When you look at LeMahieu, when you look at Anthony Rizzo, I mean, Juan Carlos Stanton, I was thinking he was one of them, but he had a big game tonight. So you look at this team, and this is a team that has some aging stars, and Domingo looked like to be one of those young stars that could really help grow and develop, which this team needs right now.
Yep, I would agree with that.
There's a Bill Withers song that says, "I wish you well," and that's kind of what you want to do for that guy, man. I wish you well, man, that he gets over that alcoholism. That's a tough situation. If JQ was here, I wonder if he'd make fun of that or talk about Steve Sarkisian, but we're going to leave that alone, too. But, again, I do hope that my guy gets some rehab and everything is good for that. All right, next topic we're going to talk about. This is pretty interesting. We got the Big Ten is considering 4 schools from the Pac-12. Now, if you're keeping up, if you're keeping track at home, they added USC and UCLA going in next year, and now they're considering Washington, Oregon, Cal, and Stanford. Now, right now, it appears that Washington and Oregon are the primary targets, that they're hitting 18 schools. And obviously, I think with the 20, then Cal and Stanford are next. So this is going to be a big, big impact. Right now, I was looking up the numbers. For Big Ten, schools are getting about $50 million a year, which is pretty phenomenal if you're looking at that. The Big 12 is getting like $31.7 million. But, yeah, what say you about this, Gary? This is a pretty interesting move that – you know, obviously, Washington, Oregon are kind of the primary schools they're targeting for the Big Ten right now.
Well, the one thing I would say, and I've done some research on it today, and those are the schools in order: Oregon, Washington, Cal, Stanford, in that order as their priority. And But the one school that they did piss off in this whole process is when USC negotiated their deal with the Big Ten, they said the one school that they do not want in there is Oregon. They said they don't want Oregon in there because in the last 20 years, the Ducks have pulled too many people from the Southern Cal area to come up and play for the Ducks, and they hate him with the passion. They hate Phil Knight with the passion. They feel like he's just unfairly dumped too much money, you know, into the Ducks program and facility.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen the facility at University of Oregon, it rivals the best of the best of the NFL facilities. It's their training facility and stuff is absolutely amazing. But that's also just pissed off USC. They didn't get that in writing, but it was something that they brought up, and they brought up again with this stuff coming out. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, you bring in these four more schools and you piss off one because when they negotiated theirs, they didn't want the Ducks in there. So it is what it is.
Oh, you muted, Rob.
Sorry, you all. But, yeah, Gary, you're absolutely right. I heard the same thing, that Oregon was not welcomed by USC into the Big Ten. But for that matter, I don't think they wanted any other schools in the Pac-12 to join the Big Ten. But if you're the Big Ten, you know, and for me, if I'm USC, I want more West Coast schools. I don't want to be traveling halfway across the country every week to play a road game. So why not put some more teams out west like Oregon? I know Oregon and Washington are the primary targets, like Andre mentioned. That is true, with Stanford and Cal maybe a possibility after them. But if I'm USC and UCLA, I want more Pac-12 schools to come and join me in this conference. And maybe you can set up a legitimate Big Ten West. I mean, Big Ten is going to be a national conference, right? I mean, they're going to be across the country with exposure. I mean, they practically have every area of the country covered except the southeast and maybe the southwest. But, you know, they could have a legitimate western division in the eastern division. And right now, if you look at the way the Big Ten is structured, the eastern division has Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. The three best lately, the last 5-10 years, those have been the three best football schools, and they're all in the eastern division. So now you add USC, UCLA to the West. Maybe you add Oregon and Washington to the West. And now you got something here. You know, you can have the winner of that East and, you know, a potential Ohio State USC Big Ten championship game, or Michigan USC Big Ten championship game, or Michigan Oregon, or Michigan Washington, Ohio State Washington. I mean, you got a legitimate, conference championship here, as opposed to, you know, keep putting the 7-5 Purdue team in there, or 8-4 Wisconsin, or 9-3 Nebraska at best, right? You know, so You know, you can put Nebraska, you can put Iowa out there in the West with them, you know, and a few other schools, and you got a legitimate East versus West championship game for the Big Ten. So, I mean, I would want more schools from the West if I was USC and UCLA. But it's definitely a no-brainer to try to get Oregon and Washington in there. They're the Seattle market. You get in the Portland, Oregon market, two more big cities. And then if you get Stanford and Cal, you get in the Bay Area, even though they haven't been strong here of late in football, but you're still getting that Bay Area market.
Yeah,
what happens
to Stanford academically is good.
Oh,
yeah, what happens to the rivalries, Gary, like Oregon or Oregon State? Does that even matter, you think, from that perspective, too, or what, guys? Is that something?
Well,
you
know what,
about?
If you look at – well, yeah, if you look at what's left, you know, you've got Washington State.
Washington State, yep.
Oregon State. Who else? Where's Utah going?
Utah, Arizona,
in
Arizona
situation.
State.
Yeah. So
you know, so
about...
so you got nothing. You got yeah. You don't have much left. So I don't know. I'm off air right
well,
now, but yeah, it's I don't know who they're going to bring in or what they're going to bring in. You know, they're going to have to bring in some schools, and the remainder of them are probably going to have to be merged with Mountain West or something, I guess.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Mountain West.
That was a report tonight that Arizona and the Big 12 are in serious talks. And that makes sense because the Big 12 is really putting together a basketball powerhouse conference. When you look at that conference,
yeah, Arizona.
Right now, you got
Arizona,
yeah,
Arizona State.
You got Arizona, you got Kansas, you got Houston, you got Cincinnati. And so you really – Baylor, who's been a basketball power here of late as well. So they're really putting together – Kansas State made it to the Elite Eight. So this is – now you're really putting together a real strong basketball conference. It's still a quality football conference, obviously, but you're going to be behind the Big Ten, the SEC, and the ACC in football. But still, you're putting together a quality conference. But you have the opportunity – to probably be the best basketball conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah, we got some rumors, too. Like we talked about, Utah is rumored to go to the Big 12 right now. Obviously, Colorado left. And then you add, like you said, Rob, Arizona State kind of looks. So it does leave, obviously, State. It does leave Washington State out there, too. So kind of who's left from that perspective, too. So, yeah, good stuff. Woo, man, this is great. Gary, were you messing with us about literally being off the air? Did something happen? Or you just jumped off or something happened?
Yeah, I'm trying to fiddle around with it.
Okay, all good. Just let us know. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. We're literally, you know, toward the end part of the show, and the next question is, can Georgia repeat? This is pretty interesting because – you know, right now there's some interesting things, right? You know, some people have said, hey, I mean, they are the favorites until you knock them off. And, you know, right now that's probably looking like the case. They don't have – let's get Gary back in. They're bringing in Carson – supposedly Carson Beck's going to be the starter at QB. They've got one of the nation's best tight end in Brock Bowers. They've got really good young secondary. They're returning eight of the 11 starters coming back. They've got, I know this is something that me and Rob talked about, they got a pretty soft schedule, right? So, you know, starting off with UT Martin, Ball State, you know, you may have some challenges with South Carolina, and then you got Auburn, and you got Florida, and then you got Tennessee on November the 18th. So that may be one of your challenging games. But other than that, it looks like it's setting up just great for them to kind of, like, go right back into being the top school again. And so right now, until you knock them off the perch, I mean, Georgia has so much talent, as much as we hate to hear this, it looks like they could be the team to beat. But I guess it's kind of similar to what happens with Carson Beck, how he performs. And I know there's rumors about him being that great and even possibly being a Heisman candidate. But, yeah, what say you, Rob, about this for sure?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I mean, their roster is loaded. I mean, they could have a legitimate 11 all-SEC performers on his team. A lot of the defense is back, too, surprisingly, as good as that defense was. Brock Bowers might be one of the best offensive weapons in the country at the tight end position. They're big on the offensive line. The only question mark, let's face it, is how well is Carson Beck going to handle the quarterback duties? And if he's halfway decent, they have a really strong chance. But, you know, if you ask me, am I going to take Georgia, am I going to take the field, it's really hard to three-peat. So as good as this Georgia team looks on paper, I'm going to say that something's going to happen where the field finds a way to beat Georgia, and Georgia does not repeat. I mean, that's extremely hard. You got to think about complacency possibly setting in with some of the players, especially
right.
the ones that have been
right.
around the last couple of years. So I'm going to take the field. I don't know who that team is because, like I said, on paper, Georgia just looks – they look dominant. And so the only question mark is the quarterback position, right? You know,
that's
still a question mark. And, you know, as much as we had that debate versus 2001 Miami against 2019 LSU, Joe Burrow versus Ken Dorsey, and now can Carson Beck be that legitimate quarterback to take this team to a championship? So I want to take the field.
Rob, we know that Joe Burrow is 100% better than Ken Dorsey. I've been saying this to the team, but, you know.
But he's not 100% better than that Miami defense, and that's what he boils down to.
Right.
Anyway,
when I need him, JQ always pick the team with a better quarterback.
Well, the quarterback doesn't play against the other quarterback. The old quarterback plays against the other team's defense. But I want to talk about Georgia.
Wait, one second here. We're going back to this LSU thing here.
No, I don't want you to say anything.
Every legitimate defensive team they played that year, they dominated them.
Come on, man. It's hard to.
And there were some legitimate. And there were legitimate teams that they dominated. You're right. And they went undefeated and they won the national championship. You're absolutely right. Miami wasn't just a legitimate.
One.
They were dominating defense.
LSU eight.
Anyway, let's get on with Georgia. I'm going with the field too.
Well, I'd be exactly
you know they're
right going
to be one of they're going to be one of the playoff teams. Once they're there, then we don't know what's going to happen. You get four really good teams, and we'll just see how that goes. Most likely, I'm sure they're going to be probably number one or number two when it's all said and done. And
they'll be number one preseason. Mm-hmm.
You know, but we'll see how that goes then. Anything can happen. All they have to do is stub their toe one time and they're, you know, maybe they're not number one. And I'm thinking that they will. Because I'm thinking, you know, it is hard to three-peat. They've got to be hungrier than that other team. Maybe they will be. Maybe they're just that mentally tough and that well-coached
right.
to be that three-peat. But I'm going with the field, too.
Yeah,
I think we're all in agreement about that. It's going to be the field because you're going to have a pretty angry Nick Saban. He's already angry, but he's going to be even angrier. So you're going to figure out that. You got to figure out that Georgia's probably getting the best of every team every week. So, yeah, like you said, Rob, complacency mm-hmm. can definitely be a you got to beat yourself at this juncture, too. So, you know, again, it's kind of very similar to the NFL, right? There's some question marks for some quarterbacks, right? So we really – Carson seems like he's killing it, but you don't really know until he actually starts playing. So, you know, again, you're losing great experience with quarterback. You know, he should win that job. We talked about that. But, again, is the talent should obviously allow him to get – are they going to say we're going to make Carson Beck beat us or what happens to that too? We have no clue how he's going to perform in that situation too. So, you know – extremely talented.
Absolutely.
But the field is going to – everyone's going to be getting – they're going to give Georgia their best game. You know, so you just know they're going to be coming after Georgia. So they got to be ready. So.
But, Andre, you made a really good point earlier here when you look at Georgia's schedule here. I mean, the only team that might have a shot at beating them is Tennessee and Rocky Top, right? And, I mean, that's it. I mean, their schedule is just extremely
soft.
You know, yeah, in their favor, right? So it really sets them up to have a strong chance of getting back to play for the SEC championship and get to the playoffs. So that's half the battle. But even that being said, I'm still going to take the field as well.
Yeah. I mean, they're starting out UT Martin, Ball State, like I said. You know, they're going to play South Carolina, Auburn. They have Missouri, which, you know, gave them a little challenges last time, then Florida, and then they end it with Georgia Tech, which should be a pretty easy game for that. We'll see how that plays. Hopefully Georgia Tech will give them some type of battle. But, yeah, I mean, the schedule sets up pretty easily for them as well. So, they are talented, my guys. So let's keep this going. We got 10 minutes, gentlemen. And, Rob, really quickly, I guess I want to talk about some football teams that did the best in the transfer portal. And if we get some time to talk about the ACC that may fall apart because, you know, they had a bad media deal, we'll talk about that. FSU is not happy with the pay that they're getting, so that's going to be another situation to talk about too. But, Rob, you can talk about the team that did really well in the transfer portal.
Hey, they start off with primetime. Deion, I got Colorado number one as far as the players that they acquired in the transfer portal. And they lost a lot of players, too. And the one concern for Colorado, Deion did a heck of a job getting skill position players and getting corners and safeties to come in there. But the one question you're going to have for Colorado going into the season is how can they compete in the trenches? Offensive and defensive line will be a concern for Colorado. But when you look at it overall, I mean, they got Travis Hunter, who was a five-star athlete coming out of high school, transferred from Jackson State, Shiloh Sanders, and then, of course, the quarterback, Shadir Sanders as well. I mean, those are huge gets for their program over the four- and five-star recruits coming out of high school. Number two, let's go down to Baton Rouge. My Bayou Bengals got to get Brian Kelly a lot of credit. Second year in a row, he's attacked the transfer portal. You got Logan Diggs, running back from Notre Dame. And Gary, you may know his name, Omar Spikes. He was an all Pac-12 linebacker at Oregon State. He's transferred to LSU. Expect him to come in and start right away. Aaron Anderson, who's a wide receiver, from the New Orleans area, initially went to Alabama, but he's transferring to LSU. So it's a big win to get him back. And also probably the biggest one of all, Denver Harris, five-star cornerback who initially went to Texas A&M, is now coming to LSU. And he'll probably compete for playing time or starting position right away for LSU. And then I'll go to number three, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, Walker Howard, actually was a Louisiana quarterback initially at LSU. He's now transferring to Ole Miss. May not see him get immediate results, but maybe in a year or two he'll be starting quarterback for Ole Miss. Walker Howard didn't want to sit at LSU. But in a nutshell, he'll probably still sit at Ole Miss for a year or two with a big quarterback get for Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. And then, of course, Victor Kern left the University of Washington to go to Ole Miss in one of the better interior offensive linemen in the Pac-12 last year, going over to Ole Miss. Number four, let's go to the Pac-12, USC. And really with USC, I can just stop with one name, Dorian Singer, wide receiver, Arizona. He's going to be number one receiver for USC. He had a huge year at Arizona. But I do have some other names, though. Mason Cobb, coming over from Oklahoma State, linebacker. Jameel Muhammad, also another linebacker to try to improve that defense for USC. And last but not least, Florida State. And I'm just going to give you one name with Florida State, Keon Coleman, wide receiver from Michigan State. Florida State's going to have an elite wide receiver duo to pair along with Jordan Travis. So that was a huge get. Getting Keon Coleman from Michigan State.
Well, as I went through the list, I Googled this, and I didn't really get a chance to really dissect each player and position on the team. But this is what I picked up online, is Louisville had four-star recruits, 22 three-star recruits, USC had 10 four-star recruits at number two and 4 3-star recruits. Auburn got 5 4-star recruits and 16 three-star recruits.
Nice.
Arkansas got 4 4-star recruits and 14 three-star recruits. Florida State, 6 4-star recruits and 5 3-star recruits. And then I looked at Oregon, and Oregon was at 15 recruiting, I guess, and they had 3 4-star recruits and 12 three-star recruits. The Pac-12.
Good job, Gary. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting near the end, gentlemen. We got about 2 minutes here before we get to the OC portion. Was there anything that you two wanted to talk about before we wrap it up? Because I don't know if we're going to have a short OT or you guys' thoughts on that too, but now is the time to kind of give us your thoughts going into the last part of the show. So I'm going to throw it to you, Rob. Anything you want to talk about before we get ready to wrap this thing up?
Well, since we're talking about college football, I'm going to stay on the ACC and the Florida State topic, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you heard the AD for University of North Carolina come out and really upset at the communication that's coming out of Tallahassee from Florida State, right? And you know, I actually thought that at some point you were probably going to see Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, at least that four, maybe Miami, eventually join the SEC, right? But based on the comments from the University of North Carolina, AD, it sounds like they are really strongly still committed to the ACC. Unfortunately, Florida State doesn't sound to be committed, and they're going to try to find a way to get out of that. Now, it's going to cost a lot of money to get out of this ACC deal. Now, who's going to pay the bill for that if Florida State wants to come out? Are they going to pay for it? Is the SEC or the Big Ten going to jump in and pay for it? The most logical destination for Florida State will be the SEC. I wouldn't rule out the Big Ten here. Possibly get into Florida, but definitely the most logical transition from Florida State that they already have natural rivalries with Florida, Alabama, LSU. It will be more natural for them to go into the SEC, but I don't think that's a given here just yet. But who's going to pay the bill? Because it's not going to be easy leaving the ACC like it is leaving the Pac-12. Pac-12 don't have a deal after this season. So it's easy to leave. Colorado didn't have to pay an exit fee. USC and UCLA didn't have to pay an exit fee. Florida State, now Texas and Oklahoma, they're paying the exit fee to leave a little early to get to the SEC. But who's going to pay for that monstrous deal if Florida State decides to leave and go to the SEC or the Big Ten?
I don't know. Probably they'll divide that up between the conference, the new conference, and the team, I would imagine, something like that. But I do see, you know, a few years ago I would have never thought that the Pac-12 would be like this. Just gone.
Same.
So
yep.
Let's continue this in the OT.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to our live portion of the show tonight. You just experienced another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. If you enjoyed it, tune again on next week, people. We're going to be right back at you. You know, we don't normally know what night. At some point, we'll go back to our normal Tuesday night, but we've been kind of doing Thursday nights here until football season. So join us on next week. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time for our friends down in Miami. That's all excited about Messi. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear if y'all going to get Dame Lillard or not, too, down in Miami. So it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Central Time Zone, Chicago, Zach LaVine, is he going to get traded? 10 p.m. Central Time Zone and Mountain Time Zone, Denver. We want to hear from y'all. Sean Payton talking a lot of noise. You need to keep your mouth shut. 9 p.m.
Wow.
Mountain Standard Time, Week 5, Jets and the Broncos. Hey, yeah, NFL going to flex it? I don't think so, because the Cowboys and the 49ers playing Sunday night that night, so they probably won't flex that game, not with the Cowboys and Niners. And on the West Coast, Portland, what's going on with Dame Lillard? That's 8 p.m. We're going to hear from you guys out in Oregon on next week. Good night, people.
Shout out to my guy, JQ. You know we got to go. Go Dodgers again. That's how we're going to end the show again. Let's get ready to get set up for the OT portion. And you're happy, JQ, that you got your feel-good story early in the game. Try to get it out before it got too high. I'm sorry, guys. I got to clip it before it gets to the end of the 10 seconds delay here. All right, we are officially
do that. Go Chargers chant when they're playing the Beagles.
That would be hilarious. We talked about how he loves.
No, you know the way
the England sport NHL.
So,
yeah, go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Gary.
Continuing on with our discussion on the ACC, whether or not they're going to fall apart. The way the Pac-12 fell apart, they were the last. The Pac-12 just shit the bed, really. They were the last ones to negotiate, to try and negotiate anything. And I don't know if they just thought that the these networks were just going to come and just deliver them something on a silver platter. But I think that they missed an opportunity, and now they're going to be gone. Or they're going to be a shell of their former self if they even call it the pack, whatever it's going to be. But as far as the ACC, you know, with Florida State wanting to leave, they're going to find a way to leave. They're going to find a way to be in that Southeastern Conference. Once they do that, it's going to be just like the Pac-12. You're going to see the other schools, you know, the Clemsons and, you know, Virginias, whoever, that are going to jump in on that. I don't want Miami to jump in on that because they're not worthy of that conference. They're nowhere near worthy of that conference. You know, unfortunately, that's the reality. But I do believe that the ACC at some point here in the near future will be somewhat of a smaller conference with whatever small conference they want to throw in there for their, you know, for their teams. Well, maybe they'll be in a conference where they're playing against, you know, Central Florida and, you know, Florida International or whatever, you know.
Wow.
Wow. Come on now. You know, I think it's interesting, right? Because, again, research, you know, like we talked about, they signed that terrible deal till 2036. You know, that's what everyone's talking about right now. So if there's a way to either rip it up or get out of that, that's going to be a huge challenge, right? So, again, you know, that's what's going on with that. But I do, you know, you talked about it earlier, Rob, with North Carolina kind of being strong in it. Let's kind of add the basketball element to this too, right? So ACC has been great in basketball. Maybe there's some things that they can take advantage of, you know, whenever you look at who's left over, right? So maybe, you know, Arizona's great in basketball, so maybe that's a kind of a natural fit for football, right? So I know you're traveling cross country, but maybe that's a school that, you know, added the situation. Maybe you want to go grab some people on the West Coast. Maybe I want to grab a Washington State or something like that. So, again, I'm not saying you want to do that crazy travel, but there's some good schools that you may want to be able to kind of battle back and forth with and say, hey, let's add these schools just to add more of a bigger national presence, if you will, too. So right now we're kind of stuck in this side of the town on the East Coast, but now let's maybe see about a different way to kind of obviously add to the basketball side, but also add to that, because it'd be great to see maybe Arizona and Georgia Tech or whatever. Maybe, you know, you're looking at a different situation or that too. We haven't even talked about the independents like, you know, Notre Dame or whatnot, too, what's happening with them too. So there's a couple of things you got to think about too. So, you know, I don't know if it sort of like collapses, Gary. I mean, it's not looking great. I would agree with that. But you just said it earlier, you didn't think that the Pac-12 would be where we are ever, right? Now we have some interesting matchups for sure. Same thing with the Big Ten. We thought the Big Ten was just going to be only Midwest, and now you see they're kind of grabbing USC, UCLA. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me clarify that. Like the Pac-12, for example, they've talked about bringing in Boise State, Fresno State, Nevada, San Diego Aztecs, bringing in those four schools, and I don't know whoever else they want to try and bring in to still have a Pac-12. But that Pac-12, you're replacing those schools with, you know, UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington. There's no comparison in those in that scenario.
Right.
So
right.
That maybe it may be called the Pac-12, or it may at some point it may be called the ACC, but it won't look like the ACC.
You're right.
You know,
yeah.
Because, like I said, if Florida State moves into the Southeastern Conference, you know, monkey see, monkey do, just like we've seen in the Pac-12, it's going to happen. You're going to get four schools moving over there. Then it's going to be a shell of its former self, and they'll have to bring in other talent, lesser talent around them, you know, into that, into those spots. So it may be still called the ACC or called the Pac-12, but they won't be the same.
That's true. I got you. Good stuff. Yeah. All right. I hear you. Good stuff. I guess let's do this last topic, Rob, and let's wrap up the show. I don't know if you want to talk about the NFL-style kickoffs or the XFL-style kickoffs that the NFL is considering. Or, you know, we kind of briefly talked about that flex rule. We don't think it's going to happen. I know there's been a lot of scuttlebutt with the Jets and the Broncos, and as much as we'd love to see that battle go down, it's going to be tough to move a primetime matchup with the Cowboys and the 49ers too, which you keep hearing about, you know, Brock Purdy's doing really well in camp. But, you know, that's I say less about that too, Rob. So you can go ahead and talk about that. We can wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah, well, I'll wrap up. Instead of talking about that, since we kind of already touched on it, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, you know, is this a team that's capable of pushing the 49ers in the NFC West? And when you look at the offensive side of the football, if they can get another year out of Geno Smith like they did last year, you know, the answer could be yes, because they've improved on the offensive line. They got Jackson Smith and Jigba, a wide receiver to go along with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. They got a 1-2 punch at running back. So when you look at the offensive side of the football, they're extremely scary. And then when you look at their defense, that's when you start scratching your head. Because Pete Carroll's a defensive guy, and, you know, historically he's always had a good defense wherever he's gone, whether it's been the head coach with the Jets, head coach of New England, head coach of Seattle, head coach of USC. He had a legitimate defense then, so he's the defensive guy. The secondary looks to be really strong, right? Devin Weatherspoon, a pick from Illinois, is a straight-up dog. He's going to be great. To go along with the rookie they drafted on last year from Texas San Antonio. So, and then if they get Jamal Adams back healthy too, they could really have a legitimate secondary. Now, the question mark here for Seattle is that front seven on defense. When you look at that front seven on defense, that's the question mark. They did bring back Bobby Wagner. And so can they improve that front seven? That's going to be a big question mark. If they can get anything out of that front seven, this team could be a contender, but right now I just don't think they're there. That front seven is still not strong enough to me to compete with the 49ers. So I think they're still finished second and still have a chance of making the playoffs. But offensively, they look scary. But the front seven on defense is just not there on the defensive line in the linebacker's position. Like I said, they brought Bobby Wagner back, but I still don't think that's going to be enough for him.
No. You know, and that was going to be my topic as well. And what I wrote down on my notes is can Geno Smith build on the good season he had last year?
Mm-hmm.
With a better offensive line, I believe he can. If he does do that, they can be competitive. The concern is exactly what you said, is on the defensive side of the ball. You know, on the defensive side of the ball. Now, maybe Pete Carroll can run some different schemes and hide some deficiencies for a while, but what happens is these teams, somebody figures it out, what their weakness is, whatever it is, whether it's running up the middle, running left, throwing short, whatever their weakness is, a team is going to figure it out, and then they're going to be smart teams like the 49ers that exploit that. So that is, they're not there yet. They're not, they're good enough to compete, and I could see them potentially splitting with the 49ers, but beating them and winning the division, I don't see that. But I do see them. I do see Geno Smith and that offense keeping them in some games and potentially making the playoffs.
I'm going to briefly talk about, just a really, really brief thing about the what's happening with the possibility of the XFL stock kickoffs. And again, just in a nutshell, it's a way to reduce concussions for players. I know mm-hmm. the way the XFL utilized it, I think the players are kicking off from the 30, is it 35 or 30? I got to look at the actual situation where they kick off from the 30 in the XFL, and then the only player, I guess only the kicker gets lined up at the team's 35, and so only the kicker and the returner can move before the ball is touched by the returner. So it's kind of a different situation where it's trying to reduce concussions and that striking distance between opposing players. So there's like 5 yards of space that's before they can cover a contact. So it prevents the teams or players from hitting full speed, so or top speed, if you will. So that's something that right now it's not sure if it's actually going to go down. But again, it does seem like the NFL is always trying to figure out ways to keep people safe. We talked about implementing those fair catch rules as well to enhance safety. But, we'll see how the game evolves from that perspective. That's all I got. So just a quick little, snub about that. And we're just excited that football is definitely back. And I know the Hall of Fame game was on tonight between the Jets and the Browns. I caught a little bit of it, and then, my team stopped playing. So it was interesting to that. No starters played. I got to see what happened with the score because I saw a little bit of Zach Wilson, and, we'll see how
21-16 Browns final score.
Browns won? Yeah, okay, good stuff. I remember I was going to take a peek at that too. So, but, congrats to all the Hall of Famers. Some great names, Revis Island, Joe Thomas, Don Coryell, a couple of names that I remember that I saw. Just a great, great situation for that too. So we're excited football's back too. So I don't know if you want to add that, Rob. We're getting to wrap up the show, my guy.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we thank you all for another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We cover most of our topics, if not all of them, on tonight. So we thank you all for tuning in. Next week, you don't want to miss us. More than likely, it's going to be either Tuesday or Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hey, for those friends out in Hawaii, hey, Hawaii might be joining the Pac-12, 5 p.m.
Oh my God.
Pacific Standard Time.
Rainbow.
It might be in a pack tomorrow.
Yeah. What did you say, Gary?
I said I could see that happening.
That's a crazy flight to Hawaii, man, because once you get to L.A., then it's another 6 hours to the island, isn't that something like that? 5-6 hours to the island, something crazy?
Yeah, 5.5 hours.
From anywhere on the West Coast. Yeah, but even like you get to L.A. or to California, like I'm here. No, you still got to go another 5 hours to get to the island, which is nuts. So that's an interesting flight in itself. But shout out to my Hawaii relatives as well, too. A lot of love for you guys, man. So I'm still not paying $10 for some orange juice, but other than that, we're good. So a lot of love. But, gentlemen, have a fantastic weekend. I love keeping everyone on their toes whenever we're going to be on our next show as well. JQ, hope you had fun, my guy. And we'll see you guys next week. Be good, gentlemen.
Good night.
Thursday would work better for me.
Good night. What day, Gary? Thursday.
Y'all got to make sure y'all team's not playing in preseason next Thursday.
Yeah, we're playing on Friday. I'll check because I think I may be in Charlotte next week. So I'll keep you in the loop with stories as far as that too. So yeah. Anniversary time is happening. All
right.
All that fun stuff, too. So, yeah. All right, gentlemen. Have a good rest of your evening. Good night.
Good night, Steve.